Welcome to Sound Off with Lewis Woodard.
How can you not know who Lewis is? Oh, my God. You hear his voice, you recognize who he is.
Wrapping up the day in sports in a fast-paced, high-energy atmosphere. You got an opinion? Bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
Dial 843-652-3776 or Sound Off on Twitter at 1003TheTeam.
This is a special person.
Now, your host, Lewis Woodard.
Exciting show lined up for this Thursday afternoon. Coming up at 5:40, we have Steve Montgomery, a.k.a. the Creepy Weasel. Guy's a Florence native. He's fighting at UFC 193 coming up in November. Apparently, it's going to be one of the bigger UFC bouts. They're out there in Australia. Ronda Rousey's on the card. Pretty cool to have a local guy, or somewhat local guy, on the card, and I definitely got to ask him about this Creepy Weasel nickname, because Doug Martin hates Muscle Hamster, and here we have our boy Steve Montgomery embracing Creepy Weasel. Like, that's not traditionally a nickname that I think a lot of us would like.
Is that how I should address him when I call him later?
Mr. Weasel, is this you? All right, thank you, Creepy. You're going to be on with Lewis next. So that's coming up at 5:40. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And I'm straight up with you guys. I am not a UFC expert. So I might ask him some ridiculous questions, but we'll see how much patience Mr. Weasel has for me. So that's coming up at 5:40.
Quick side note, Muscle Hamster wants to go by the Duggernaut now.
Yeah, that's such a weak nickname. We'll have to get into that later in the program. First rule of nicknames is the more you resist the nickname, the more people think it's funny to call you the nickname. Like in an elementary school setting, maybe that's bullying. And maybe that's a little uncomfortable, but with Doug Martin, a highly compensated NFL running back, I feel no shame whatsoever about, air quotes, bullying him by calling him the Muscle Hamster. Anyways, 843-652-3776 is the number if you want to weigh in during the course of today's show. And we're going to start right now with the role of the media and Cam Newton's thoughts on it. So Cam Newton, one of the more, I think we can all just sit down and realize he's one of the more heavily criticized professional athletes in recent years. The details of his exit from Florida, his sudden arrival at Auburn, and what he did to the national championship landscape, taking an Auburn team that was on nobody's radar, beating Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium in an epic second-half comeback to win the Iron Bowl and to stay undefeated. He wins the Heisman and then beats Oregon to win the BCS, goes on to being the number one pick in the draft. Everybody remembers his just shot out of a cannon burst with fame there. The average sports fan did not know who he was before that year at Auburn. So that's all going on while everybody knows that his father tried to shop his signature on a national letter of intent to the highest bidder. We know that he asked Mississippi State for $180,000. And I'm not exactly sure that if you have a $180,000 offer, that you then settle for zero with Auburn. So that's my thoughts on the matter. But I don't really have a problem with college athletes getting paid. You guys know that. But there's no doubt whatsoever that the mercenary image that he had as a collegiate based on some of the decisions his father made affected the way people viewed him heading into the NFL draft. The fact that he said that he wanted to be an icon and an entertainer certainly rubbed people the wrong way. And there were lots of people lining up to say that the Panthers made an idiotic decision to take him first overall. Whether it's his Superman dance, his first down dance, the fact that he smiles all the time, maybe he used to pout on the sidelines when he was a rookie. There are all kinds of complicated factors that go into what someone's opinion on Cam Newton is. Maybe it's just a purely football-related opinion. Maybe you are that rare person out there that is not influenced by emotion, and you can say, you know what, he's a fifth-year player now, his mechanics should be better, and he should stop overthrowing players, teammates on short routes. I mean, maybe you are that rare person out there that has an unbiased, unemotional opinion. But there's no doubt that most people have an opinion on Cam Newton that deals with a lot of the background noise from when they got their first impression of him. And he, more than most athletes, I think, in professional sports, gets the opposite of the benefit of the doubt. Right? We talk about the first three games of Andrew Luck's season this year where he was other than Jimmy Clausen, the worst passer in the NFL. Statistically, had some of the worst performances you could ever imagine a starting NFL quarterback. And what did you hear from the national media? Constantly, like a drumbeat, they need to fix that offensive line. Otherwise, you're going to be squandering the biggest talent since John Elway. Couldn't it just be the guy had a bad three-game stretch and needs to play better? Or maybe it's his shoulder. Maybe he needs a little bit of rest. But people immediately went after his offensive line. And I have very seldom from national people, national media, heard that Cam Newton has a subpar offensive line and maybe in the conversation for the worst weapons in the NFL. If you grade out, Greg Olsen is excellent, but if you grade out his tight end, his wide receivers, and his running back core, his weapons are bottom five in the NFL with Kelvin Benjamin injured. Bottom five. And what you hear about Cam Newton is he's winning because he's got a great defense, and he hasn't gotten better since his rookie season statistically. No one wants to have the more nuanced conversation about the surrounding pieces and what it is that he has dealt with. Last year, he played through a rib injury and an ankle injury the entire season. That probably affected his productivity. You really don't hear that mentioned. And so some people do get the benefit of the doubt, and some people do not. And I think where Cam Newton is coming from, he probably is frustrated with the media that he's always the guy that doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I know that would frustrate me. I mean, I'm in a position in this market where I don't have a whole lot of criticism. If I hosted this same show in New York City, people would tell me that they hated me and wanted to kill me every day. So maybe someday I'll find out what it's really like to face a tenth of the criticism that Cam Newton faces. But frankly, I just don't know what it's like, but I can try to imagine that it's frustrating. And he told the press today, this audio is courtesy of Panthers.com, that he finds the media comical.
But I find all media like comical at times. Because I think in you guys' profession, you can easily take back what you say. And it's no, you don't get, it's no danger, you know, when somebody says it, you know, oh, I'm going to pick this team to win. You know, going back to college or whatever.
And he seems preoccupied there with this idea that the media's job is to predict things correctly, right? And it really gets into the notion of what is the media's job. Like, if you think the Panthers were going to lose to the Seahawks and the Panthers win because Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor blow a coverage and Greg Olsen gets into the end zone at the very end, somehow that miscommunication between two of Seattle's defensive backs, that should affect the way people view your performance as a media member, right? Much in the same way that Cam probably wouldn't want someone to criticize him for getting intercepted if his receiver ran the wrong route and it just went right into a cornerback's hands. Some people were wrong on their media prediction based on a miscommunication in Seattle's vaunted secondary to close out that game. And while I do like Cam an awful lot, you guys will hear me sing Cam's praises and have heard me sing Cam's praises, but the job of the media member is to not predict things correctly. We're not forecasting. No one is going up and saying, these are my picks, invest money. Like maybe if it's Jeff Allen Sports, you know, you hear that commercial all the time on the radio, and he's nothing but winners. Call this number now. Win, win, win. Double your investment. That's not what the majority of media is. Media is here to, on some level, inform and on some level, entertain. And sports media is going through a little bit of a crisis right now, particularly the newspaper industry, and how much they want to inform versus how much they want to entertain. I look at it like 99% entertainment, to be honest with you guys. I like to be right. And I don't ever say things that I know to be wrong just to get phone calls or just to get fired up. That's not who I am, and that's not how I run my show. But to give you guys a little window into the business, I had a conversation with one of my bosses today. And the two things that I am tasked with are have good ratings and make sure the show is billing well, which means there are advertisers. He said nothing about make sure you're above 60% on the top games of the week in Facebook. He said nothing about, why don't you predict the Heisman winner correctly this year? And everything's golden. It is ratings and billing. That's how radio works. That's how television works. There is some responsibility to inform. When Coastal Carolina's kickoff is moved, and I want to make sure that all of you guys don't show up to the stadium at the wrong time, I will inform. When Coastal Carolina is considering selling alcohol at athletic events, I will interview Athletic Director Matt Hogue and say, where does the board stand on this? That is a situation which is more informational than entertainment. But at the end of the day, my job is to make sure that everyone listening right now continues to do so for as long as possible, and here's our sponsor messages in between. My job is not to accurately predict whether the Carolina Panthers beat the Seattle Seahawks. And I took the Panthers with the points, but thought the Seahawks would ultimately win. I was wrong because Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, two of the very best players in the entire NFL, at their position, looked at each other cross-eyed because they weren't sure if they were supposed to be in man or zone. They mixed up the call. Greg Olsen ends up having a wide-open touchdown in the end zone, hands up in the air, palms skyward. Finally, after going 0-4 in the Russell Wilson-Cam Newton era, the Panthers win the game. And I loved it because I'm a Panthers fan. Yeah, I like being right, but that's one instance where I am okay with being wrong. Now, Cam Newton has a little something to say about media members that are wrong. This is his suggestion.
Now, if it was a pay cut, if it was an incentive, if, you know, picking teams each and every week, you know, you may get a raise. I guarantee if people will be watching what they say, then they should have an incentive and that, you know, if you make a bold statement, if you're correct, you get an X amount increase. But if you make a bold statement and it goes the other way, you get deducted. Going straight to the Cam Newton Foundation.
So that goes to show you a little bit of the tone of the conversation, that this is very lighthearted. He wants people that are fined for wrong predictions to donate to his charity. Cam does excellent charitable work. It does not get covered enough. But, yeah, Cam, the media business, their budgets don't exist to reward you for game-predicting performance. I don't know of any media contracts that are based on ratings, but I don't talk to a lot of my buddies in media about the way their contracts are structured. I think there's the assumption that maybe in Myrtle Beach, maybe we're all just trying to get by. Maybe nobody has a fancy contract that has raises tied to ratings, or I know for a fact no one is getting predictions. Like my buddy Ian Guerin at the Sun News, he's not getting more money from the Sun News if his high school picks on Friday in the morning on MyrtleBeachOnline.com are better than the guy next to him predicting. I know that's not the case, right? His job is to write columns that people will read online and in print and to get the news to people that want it, right? My job is to keep you guys listening. Tom Sorensen in the Charlotte Observer, he is a columnist. His job is to get more people to read his column. Now, if I'm ever around a media member that I think is lying about something to get people to call, that's a little dereliction of duty there. That's something, and over time, those kind of characters get chased out of the media because people get tired of them. And Brian, you're looking at me right now. Are you going to throw First Take in my face with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith?
There's no way he believes half the stuff he says.
Rarely can people get away with that. Like, if I am inauthentic as a talk show host, people pick up on that immediately. And that's why I just don't talk about the NHL or NASCAR. Because I don't have one bit of knowledge about those sports. So if I say anything, it's, you know, it'll be about, like, the human side of it or the drama or enjoying going to a race. Like, I'm not going to say this is what the number 24 car needs to do to improve this weekend. That's not the kind of show that I run. But I'm also never just going to say a flagrant opinion just to get people to call up, because I don't think that over time that works. I think that by and large, this is a smart audience that we have, as evidenced by the Lincoln Park Bar and Grill trivia question every Wednesday. First caller gets it over 50% of the time. We got a smart audience here. If I was spewing BS to try to get more people to listen by saying things I didn't believe, you guys would run me out of this market. You just wouldn't listen.
And back to that scenario, a lot of it has to do with the entertainment purposes. It wouldn't be a great show if Skip and Stephen A. were just sitting there and go, yep, I agree with you. There'd be nothing to talk about. The show would be over in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'd be interested in knowing with the producers, like if they sit down, they're like, okay, these are the ones that you have to vehemently disagree with. You think they flip a coin and they decide which position to take every morning? No, but at the end of the day, entertainment is first and foremost. And when your job is to talk about sports events year-round with a talk show every day of the week, you're going to be wrong about things. The rightest I've ever been in sports media is I predicted Jameis Winston was going to win the Heisman before he played a snap of college football. The wrongest I've been is I said Duke wouldn't make the Final Four because they played bad defense and they won the national championship. You win some, you lose some. When your job is to make predictions every day, you're going to be right sometimes, wrong sometimes. Just like Cam Newton's record as a starter is 35-31-1. He's won some and he's lost some. Would he have won some more if he was drafted by a better team that had better coaching right off the bat? Probably. You know, there you can certainly do a lot worse than having Ron Rivera as your head coach, but in terms of statistical support, his numbers could be better probably at almost any other organization in the NFL because there would be a greater emphasis on the offense and surrounding him with better weapons. But I just don't view the media's accountability problem being with right and wrong based on predictions. And everybody's role out there is to get more followers, listeners, readers. It's not to most accurately predict games. Like, if I were on a hot streak with our top games of the week, I've been pretty close to red hot. Like, I am, I believe, 26-9-1 against the spread this year. But if I were 36-0, that wouldn't mean more listeners. I don't even know that it would get picked up by any media outlets. Like, guy hasn't been wrong this year. No. When have you ever read a story that says this media member is right more often than he's wrong? I know that either Awful Announcing or Deadspin did a piece on the different NFL picks and how guys were against the spread, and it was like Cowherd ended up being right more than any other prognosticator, but that was 2 years ago. But bottom line is, his job is to get people to listen, not to have his blazing five be right all the time. 843-652-3776. Larry is on the line right now. Larry, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
I just wanted to chime in, man. I agree with you 100%. Number one, you guys do a great job.
Thanks, man.
Years ago, before you guys were on here, this is just funny to me. Anytime any of the guys who were on this network before brought up NASCAR or anything, there was always this one guy who called in and would just tear him a new one. And I thought it was so funny because he was like just serious about it. And it's like the guy was saying, dudes, you know, we're not NASCAR drivers. We're not versed in everything. We're just telling you what's going on. But I mean, this was like religion to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good point, Larry, and the way I think about it is my most passionate fan biases, and I try to put them down and make, you know, say things that I believe in, but my most passionate fan biases are North Carolina basketball and Carolina Panthers football, and when I hear a national talk show or a national media product say something about those teams that is ignorant, I get really mad because I know that that's not an accurate statement. And sometimes guys in the national media have to cover so many different things, they get spread thin and can't be experts on each individual team. And so that's the way that I view preparing for this show is essentially I have X amount of time in my day, and I am better versed focusing my time on Clemson football, South Carolina football, the Panthers, ACC, SEC, than I am trying to make sure I know what the heck's going on in the NHL.
I absolutely agree with you. And at the bottom line, you said it, and you were correct. It's entertainment. We listen. Sometimes I listen to you guys, not just you, but Aaron. And sometimes y'all say things I agree with. Sometimes, rarely, though, I disagree with something. But that's what it's all about. Have a good day.
For sure, man. Appreciate the call. We're going to get one last call here from Terry and then hit a break. Terry, what's up, man?
I just want to talk a little bit about Cam Newton. I think he came of age Sunday, winning that game, and he's got an undefeated team with basically nobody around him. If you compare that to what the Steeler-Cardinal game where Palmer had a chance to win that game, and he throws an interception in the end zone where Cam Newton does win the game. So if you put Cam Newton with the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, they might score 60 points a game, you know?
Yeah, that is a really interesting hypothetical, Terry, what Cam would do in a different organization with a different organizational fit, because the skill talent around him has basically been Greg Olsen and the garbage heap for the last 2 years. Now, Kelvin Benjamin was good last year, even though he dropped the football a fair amount, and I was excited by what he could do this year. Obviously, he's unavailable, but Cam's situation in terms of his offensive coordinator, his line, and his weapons, I think is bottom five in the NFL, and it is a great hypothetical. What if he played in a dome and had Julio Jones and Roddy White and Devonta Freeman and had Kyle Shanahan coordinating his offense? Would we see MVP Cam Newton?
I just want to say he came of age, but the way he's been talking lately, he's blowing it. You know, don't blow it.
Yep. I agree with what you're saying. Appreciate the call, Terry. 843-652-3776 is the number. If you have thoughts on Cam Newton's comments and the role of the media, let us know. And coming up next, to prove that we are about this conversation, that we will put a little bit on the line, there are five prop bets involving this Carolina Panthers season. Brian Nelson and I will lay them down, and the loser of these prop bets will donate $50 to the Cam Newton Foundation. While I do disagree with the essence of what Cam's saying, his charitable foundation does good things, so we'll lay down those picks next. This is Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Call 843-652-3776 and get loose.
Talking a little bit of Cam Newton, the role of the media. Is it to inform? Is it to entertain? Should there be incentives for the media? Should we get fined for being incorrect? As Cam Newton has asserted, he thinks the media is comical and there needs to be performance standards for how often we are right versus wrong. And this is what he thinks should happen. If it was an incentive,
picking teams each and every week, you know, you make it a raise. I guarantee if people will be watching what they say, then they should have an incentive and that, you know, if you make a bold statement, if you're correct, you get an X amount increase. But if you make a bold statement and it goes the other way, you get deducted. Going straight to the Cam Newton Foundation.
And as I said before the break, while I disagree with the essence of what Cam's saying, my job is to entertain, not to be right all of the time, I will play Cam Newton's game. Right now, Brian Nelson and I are going to do a little round of Panther prop bets over-under. We've got five over-unders and a tiebreak prediction for six. In case it comes down to that, the loser between me and my producer, Brian Nelson, whichever one of us picks the fewest of these correctly, is going to end up writing a $50 check to the Cam Newton Foundation. We are going to take part in Cam's little thought experiment here. All right, Brian, what do we have? How are we starting out?
Starting out with total touchdowns for Cam Newton running and passing, over or under 35. He has 11.
He's at 11 right now, so we're five games in, so that's about a third of the way through the season. Just simply multiply that by three. He's at 33. Does he grab two more to get to 35? That's right out there. That number is snug. I think over the second half of the season, I'm just going to gut instinct here. I know the games get tougher. Games against playoff teams coming up likely. Philadelphia, Indianapolis, Green Bay, the Falcons twice. Schedule gets a little more tough, but I'm gonna have some faith in my boy Cam and say over 35 running and passing touchdowns. What do you got, Brian?
I'm gonna go under. He's only thrown for 35 gotten 35 total touchdowns once in his career, and that was his rookie season. So I think he'll be close to it, but I'm going with
the under. All right, we disagree. This is good. That way we're gonna have an outright winner.
All right, for the second one, we're gonna have over or under 3,500 passing yards for Cam. He's at 1,078 right now.
I'm actually going to take the under on Cam Newton's passing yards at 3,500. Right now he's at .178, and that puts him right at the number if you average that out over 16 games. But I think he's going to see some tougher defenses down the stretch. And in a lot of these games, his weapons aren't there. And so I think that where you're going to see, Cam is on pace to carry the football more than he has at any point in his NFL career, total number of carries. So I think that in these games, they're going to have to grind out against the Atlanta Falcons down the stretch, against the Green Bay Packers, games like that. I think that you're going to see Cam in a position where the passing game isn't there, and he's going to have to carry the football more. So I'm going to take the under on his passing yards. What do you got, Brian?
I'm also going with the under. He's only hit 3,500 twice his first two seasons. And like you said, his attempts are about the same per game, but he's averaging 1.1 yards less a game. And as we know, the weapons aren't looking too hot.
Also,
also
those first two seasons, Brian, Rob Chudzinski was his offensive coordinator, who was way more draw up crazy play on the whiteboard, slinging around the yard kind of offensive coordinator than is Mike Shula now, who loves more of the ground game. So we both have under on 3,500 passing yards. What's next?
Speaking of the ground game, over under 700 rushing yards. He's at 225 right now.
I'm going to take the over on that for the reasons that I just said on the under and the passing yards. I think that we're going to get into these close games where the playoffs and the division are on the line, and I think it's going to be up to Cam to tote the rock.
I'm going opposite again. I'm going under. It'll be close. He's hit over 700 twice in his career, but I think the opposite. I think they're going to try to stop him from running towards the end of the season, try to preserve him for the playoffs.
Okay. What's next?
11.5 regular season wins for the Panthers. Over or under?
This one is really tough because the schedule gets more difficult, but you got to think about it right now. They're 5-0. So to get to 12 over the second half of the season, they just have to be 7-4. But that is 12-4, and I know Brian back there is looking at the Green Bay game, even though it's at Bank of America, as loss. You've got the Falcons twice coming up. You've got division leaders, Philadelphia and Indianapolis, even though those divisions are not the staunchest things you've ever seen. The Saints showing a little bit of growth here, and they're never a pushover for the Panthers. But do I think the Panthers will close 7-4? I do. I'm taking the over.
We disagree again. I'm going to go under. I was teetering back and forth all before the show when we came up with this idea. Looking at this schedule, as you said, I'm automatically putting the Packers one as a win. Falcons, I just assume give that the split. Each team gets one. And then the two that I was worried about are the Cowboys and the Giants, and they have the Colts the following next week. So I think out of those three games, they're going to lose two of them possibly. So ooh. I'm going to go with the under.
Okay, and the last one, well, yeah, this is the tiebreaker, correct? No,
we got one more before the tiebreaker. Over or under half a playoff win, so will they win a playoff game?
This is the one that we have the least amount of control over, the absolute least amount of control over, because it's all about the matchup. And if they win the NFC South and get a bye week, then their first opponent is going to be way more difficult than if they don't have a first-round bye and they get to play a wild-card team, theoretically. So like last year, they get a playoff win, but they get to play the Cardinals without Carson Palmer. We can't predict who they're winning or who they're playing against. Or what the situation is. I believe in this team's defense and ability to grind out close games. I think they get a playoff win, so I'll take the over.
Yeah, with not knowing too much information, it's kind of hard to see how many games they're going to win or who they're matched up against, but I agree with you. They're going to get at least one with that defense. There's no way they can't.
No way they can't. All right, and the tiebreaker, Brian, what is it?
Will they win the NFC South title? Yes or no, not really an over-under, but...
They got a one-game lead right now in Atlanta. They've got two games against them in the second half of the season. Their schedule is more difficult than Atlanta's based on last year. But that one-game lead, Cam Newton is born and raised in Atlanta. He always plays the Falcons tough. I'm going to say the Panthers do win the division.
Disagree again. I'm going no. Okay. I think just because of the easier schedule, the Falcons' schedule is pretty much cake from here on out. They play the Jaguars, the Bucks twice, the 49ers are struggling. Yeah, I don't see it. Those Panthers games are obviously going to be the huge deciding factor towards that.
All right, we'll post this online so you guys can keep track of it. Throughout the course of the season, Brian and I just laid down our picks on prop bets. The loser will write out a $50 check to the Cam Newton Foundation. Kevin tweets at 1003 the team, put me down for $50 on at Lou Woodard. He would never lose to a Canadian. Ooh. Shots fired. Brian Nelson does not know enough about American pop culture to defeat me in Carolina Panthers picks.
We will see.
Or I'm wearing Carolina Panthers colored glasses. Now, 843-652-3776 is the number. If you have thoughts on the discussion we were having earlier about Cam Newton and the role of the media and whether they should be right more often than wrong or whether they're, you know, more or less to entertain. My thoughts are we're all here for the entertainment game, right? We're all here to be entertained. I don't listen to other sports radio shows and say, well, last week you took the Patriots against the spread and they didn't cover because the Colts got a meaningless touchdown in the fourth quarter when the game was already over. I'm not listening to you anymore. Now, every once in a while, I'll hear something so flagrantly wrong, I'm like, eh, do I really trust this guy? But at the end of the day, I am listening to have my thought process challenged and to be entertained and to feel like I'm having a conversation with the radio. It's not about being right and wrong, right? You never hear a program director in radio say that, hey, I made a hire because this guy against the spread last year, man, he was 50-0. That's just not how the game works. So we will recognize Cam Newton's charitable work by contributing to it. But at the end of the day, I don't really buy into the idea that media should be performance-related gigs in terms of accurate predictions. It should be performance in terms of what it is your job description is. Make people read more papers. Make people listen more often to your radio show. Watch your television show more often. I think a lot of it has to do with perhaps unfair criticism Cam has faced in his career, but I think that he is wrong to express it that way. Now, we do have on the other side of this break, we're going to have Steve Montgomery, a.k.a. the Creepy Weasel. That's an interesting nickname. He is a UFC fighter. He's fighting up in UFC 193. It's going to be the first UFC card that's being fought in Australia. Also, Rousey's in that one. So I know there are going to be a lot of people here watching it, and, you know, there is a local boy on the card. So we're going to catch up with him next. What I'm really interested in, how he gets the nickname Creepy Weasel. I mean, how do you get that nickname, and does he embrace it? Like, if it's, you know, if the UFC is promoting him as the Creepy Weasel, he probably embraces it. But, like, we mentioned this with Doug Martin and the Muscle Hamster earlier in the show. Doug Martin is actively coming up with alternate nicknames. He wants to be known as the Duggernaut. That one's a little weak.
And you can't make your own nickname. That's right. Like me going, I'm Brian the Awesome. Don't call me the Canadian anymore. I'm Brian the Awesome.
Right. I didn't realize you were Brian the Canadian Nelson. But I guess, Brian, if you feel like you need a nickname to enhance your brand and your radio persona, we can call you Brian the Canadian.
Maybe I'll have to change my Twitter handle to the Canadian.
The Canadian. For those unaware, Brian had not watched Rocky IV, so we decided that he was from Canada. Because every God-fearing, red-blooded American should watch Rocky IV and be able to accurately remember the training montage where he's doing sit-ups off balconies and carrying rocks around.
Yeah, that
to take down Drago.
Not seeing Roadhouse.
Everyone should. Yeah, Roadhouse is another critical one, Brian. You should have watched that one. But we still have time. It's not too late for you. We can get your American citizenship.
And my distaste for baseball.
Yeah. You know, I've got a bunch of, like odd sort of training questions I want to ask this Creepy Weasel too. Like, your fight can be 8 seconds or it can be a couple of rounds. Like, how do you possibly train for something like that? Like, I'm coming at it from, like, runner guy, right? Like, I used to know when I was running 5,000 meters. I didn't know how long it was going to take me because, you know, kind of depending on whether I showed up that day or not. But, I mean, dude can show up and just run across a right hand that he didn't see coming and game over. Anyways, that conversation with Steve Montgomery coming up next on Sound Off. Back on Sound Off Sports Radio, 100.3 The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard, and joining us now on the phone line, he is from Florence, Steve Montgomery. He's also fighting at UFC 193 coming up in Australia. That's going down in November. And, Steve, we really appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Lewis. How about yourself?
Doing well, doing well. So I got to shout out your people. I appreciate you guys getting in contact with us. And I'm just going to say this straight up front, Steve. I do not know anything at all about UFC. I'll watch the occasional.
All good.
I'll watch the occasional Rousey fight. So this is you are educating all of us. That's your role today.
I really appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, try to ask you technical questions about striking and things like that. So.
I can already tell you're a cool guy because 9 out of 10 people just like to tell you everything they know, you know, and nobody's really just honest anymore.
Well, I appreciate that. And we got into this conversation, Steve, with Cam Newton earlier today, the Panthers quarterback. He thinks that media members should get fined for incorrect predictions. And I'm just curious, like, you're a UFC fighter, so you obviously deal with the media in some capacity. But are you getting enough media coverage to be annoyed by the way you're portrayed sometimes?
I mean, like, enough, definitely. Because any media coverage where someone portrays you in a weird way, whether it's you know, your mom's Facebook or someone on a Facebook page, or whether it's, you know, the NFL on SportsCenter. Either way is enough. But I mean, usually I've been really lucky. The media's always kind of been on my side. I don't know why. I have no idea. Even with, I had an incident on The Ultimate Fighter, and even that was, they didn't portray it like I thought they were going to. They were pretty nice about it. So I'm thankful for the media. So I'm always media friendly.
Well, excellent, man. What jumped out off the screen when I'm reading the email about doing this interview with you, Steve, is I see, quote, the creepy weasel. And then I see on your Twitter account, your Facebook, you're really embracing this nickname, the creepy weasel. How does that happen?
There's an old school rule. I guess it's just throughout the martial arts world. A nickname has to be given. If not, then it's just not even a real nickname. So it's got to be given. And regardless of how bad it is or good it is, you got to roll with it. And I was given it by two different parties. The weasel part came from my team in South Carolina, and then I moved to Florida, and they gave me creepy. So the name got married. I honestly hate it. I think it's stupid. I've thought of 10 cooler nicknames for myself, but everyone, for whatever reason, loves it, and they gave it to me. So I roll.
Do I think the Panthers will close 7-4? I do. I'm taking the over.
We disagree again. I'm going to go under. I was teetering back and forth all before the show when we came up with this idea. Looking at this schedule, as you said, I'm automatically putting Packers one as a win. Falcons, I just assume give that the split. Each team gets one. And then the two that I was worried about are the Cowboys and the Giants. And they have the Colts the following next week, so I think out of those three games, they're going to lose two of them possibly. So ooh. I'm going to go with the under.
Okay, and the last one. Well, yeah, this is the tiebreaker, correct? No,
we got one more before the tiebreaker. Over or under half a playoff win. So will they win a playoff game?
This is the one that we have the least amount of control over. The absolute least amount of control over, because it's all about the matchup. And if they win the NFC South and get a bye week, then their first opponent is going to be way more difficult than if they don't have a first round bye and they get to play a wild card team, theoretically. So like last year, they get a playoff win, but they get to play the Cardinals without Carson Palmer. We can't predict who they're winning or who they're playing against, or what the situation is. I believe in this team's defense and ability to grind out close games. I think they get a playoff win, so I'll take the over.
Yeah, with not knowing too much information, it's kind of hard to see how many games they're going to win or who they're matched up against, but I agree with you. They're going to get at least one with that defense. There's no way they can't.
No way they can't. All right, and the tiebreaker, Brian, what is it?
Will they win the NFC South title? Yes or no? Not really an over-under, but
they got a one-game lead right now in Atlanta. They've got two games against them in the second half of the season. Their schedule is more difficult than Atlanta's based on last year, but that one-game lead... Cam Newton is born and raised in Atlanta. He always plays the Falcons tough. I'm going to say the Panthers do win the division.
Disagree again. I'm going no. Okay. I think just because of the easier schedule, the Falcons' schedule is pretty much cake from here on out. They play the Jaguars, the Bucks twice. The 49ers are struggling. Yeah, I don't see it. Those Panthers games are obviously going to be the huge deciding factor towards that.
All right, we'll post this online so you guys can keep track of it throughout the course of the season. Brian and I just laid down our picks on prop bets. The loser will write out a $50 check to the Cam Newton Foundation. Kevin tweets at 1003 the team, put me down for $50 on at Lou Woodard. He would never lose to a Canadian. Ooh. Shots fired. Brian Nelson does not know enough about American pop culture to defeat me in Carolina Panthers picks.
We will see.
Or I'm wearing Carolina Panthers colored glasses. Now, 843-652-3776 is the number if you have thoughts on the discussion we were having earlier about Cam Newton and the role of the media and whether they should be right more often than wrong, or whether they're, you know, more or less to entertain. My thoughts are we're all here for the entertainment game, right? We're all here to be entertained. I don't listen to other sports radio shows and say, well, last week you took the Patriots against the spread and they didn't cover because the Colts got a meaningless touchdown in the fourth quarter when the game was already over. I'm not listening to you anymore. Now, every once in a while I'll hear something so flagrantly wrong, I'm like, do I really trust this guy? But at the end of the day, I am listening to have my thought process challenged and to be entertained and to feel like I'm having a conversation with the radio, it's not about being right and wrong, right? You never hear a program director in radio say that, hey, I made a hire because this guy against the spread last year, man, he was 50-0. That's just not how the game works. So we will recognize Cam Newton's charitable work by contributing to it. But at the end of the day, I don't really buy into the idea that media should be performance-related gigs in terms of accurate predictions. It should be performance in terms of what it is your job description is. Make people read more papers. Make people listen more often to your radio show. Watch your television show more often. I think a lot of it has to do with perhaps unfair criticism Cam has faced in his career, but I think that he is wrong to express it that way. Now, we do have on the other side of this break, we're going to have Steve Montgomery, a.k.a. the Creepy Weasel. That's an interesting nickname. He is a UFC fighter. He's fighting up in UFC 193. It's going to be the first UFC card that's being fought in Australia. Also, Rousey's in that one. So I know there are going to be a lot of people here watching it, and, you know, there is a local boy on the card. So we're going to catch up with him next. What I'm really interested in, how he gets the nickname Creepy Weasel. I mean, how do you get that nickname, and does he embrace it? Like, if it's, you know, if the UFC is promoting him as the Creepy Weasel, he probably embraces it. But, like, we mentioned this with Doug Martin and the Muscle Hamster earlier in the show. Doug Martin is actively coming up with alternate nicknames. He wants to be known as the Duggernaut. That one's a little weak.
And you can't make your own nickname. That's right. Like me going, I'm Brian the Awesome. Don't call me the Canadian anymore. I'm Brian the Awesome.
Right. I didn't realize you were Brian the Canadian Nelson. But I guess, Brian, if you feel like you need a nickname to enhance your brand and your radio persona, we can call you Brian the Canadian.
Maybe I'll have to change my Twitter handle to the Canadian.
The Canadian. For those unaware, Brian had not watched Rocky IV, so we decided that he was from Canada. Because every God-fearing, red-blooded American should watch Rocky IV and be able to accurately remember the training montage where he's doing sit-ups off balconies and carrying rocks around.
Yeah, that.
To take down Drago.
Not seeing Roadhouse.
Everyone should. Yeah, Roadhouse is another critical one, Brian. You should have watched that one. But we still have time. It's not too late for you. We can get your American citizenship.
And my distaste for baseball.
Yeah. You know, I've got a bunch of, like odd sort of training questions I want to ask this Creepy Weasel too. Like, your fight can be 8 seconds or it can be a couple of rounds. Like, how do you possibly train for something like that? Like, I'm coming at it from, like, runner guy, right? Like, I used to know when I was running 5,000 meters. I didn't know how long it was going to take me because, you know, kind of depended on whether I showed up that day or not. But, I mean, dude can show up and just run across a right hand that he didn't see coming and game over. Anyways, that conversation with Steve Montgomery coming up next on Sound Off. Back on Sound Off Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard, and joining us now on the phone line, he is from Florence, Steve Montgomery. He's also fighting at UFC 193 coming up in Australia. That's going down in November. And Steve, we really appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Lewis. How about yourself?
Doing well, doing well. So I got to shout out your people. I appreciate you guys getting in contact with us. And I'm just going to say this straight up front, Steve. I do not know anything at all about UFC. I'll watch the occasional.
All good.
I'll watch the occasional Rousey fight. So this is you are educating all of us. That's your role today.
I really appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, try to ask you technical questions about striking and things like that. So
I can already tell you're a cool guy because nine out of ten people just like to tell you everything they know, you know, and nobody's really just honest anymore.
Well, I appreciate that. And we got into this conversation, Steve, with Cam Newton earlier today, the Panthers quarterback. He thinks that media members should get fined for incorrect predictions. And I'm just curious, like, you're a UFC fighter, so you obviously deal with the media in some capacity. But are you getting enough media coverage to be annoyed by the way you're portrayed sometimes?
Enough, definitely. Because any media coverage where someone portrays you in a weird way, whether it's, you know, your mom's Facebook or someone on a Facebook page or whether it's, you know, the NFL on SportsCenter, either way is enough. But, I mean, usually I've been really lucky. The media's always kind of been on my side. I don't know why. I have no idea. Even with, I had an incident on The Ultimate Fighter And even that was, they didn't portray it like I thought they were going to. They were pretty nice about it. So I'm thankful for the media. So I'm always media friendly.
Well, excellent, man. What jumped out off the screen when I'm reading the email about doing this interview with you, Steve, is I see, quote, the creepy weasel. And then I see on your Twitter account, your Facebook, you're really embracing this nickname, the creepy weasel. How does that happen?
There's an old school rule. I guess it's just throughout the martial arts world. A nickname has to be given. If not, then it's just not even a real nickname. So it's got to be given. And regardless of how bad it is or good it is, you got to roll with it. And I was given it by two different parties. The weasel part came from my team in South Carolina, and then I moved to Florida, and they gave me creepy. So the name got buried. I honestly hate it. I think it's stupid. I've thought of 10 cooler nicknames for myself, but everyone, for whatever reason, loves it, and they gave it to me. So I roll.